How do you live and manage your pain? This is Turning Pain into Strength with your host, published author, and certified health practitioner, Michelle Eberwein.
Hello, hello, everyone, and thank you for listening. I am so excited for today's episode. You are going to meet Kristen Haas. She is a former personal trainer who has always taken health and wellness very seriously. However, life forced her down a completely unexpected path. Take a listen.
So nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
So you have a story.
I do. I think I do anyway. I feel
wonderful.
Like
I do. I'm ready to hear your story. Tell me about yourself. Your name is Kristen Haas.
Yes, that's my married name.
Okay.
I've been married for, it'll be 28 years this year.
Okay.
I've been with my husband for 33.
Okay.
We have two daughters, a 24, almost 25 year old, and another one that's going to be 22.
Okay.
The older one is working at a museum right now, but she just took the LSAT and plans to go to law school. So
wonderful. Congratulations.
It's a total flip because she went to school for theater.
Wow.
With a distinction in lighting design, and then started working at museums and loved that, and liking the exhibits and things. And then this total flip, which caught me off guard, but I always said, go big or go home. So
that's right.
You know, you only get one shot at this, and you're young enough to try just about anything. So
yeah, of course.
I like taking this journey with them. It's pretty cool.
Sure, absolutely.
And then my other daughter is graduating from college in May with her music education degree. So she wants to be a band teacher.
Oh, how cool.
I know. I'm very excited. I'm proud of both of them so much that it's like,
of course. Yeah, that's so exciting.
So yes, we've been together for a long time. I'm 54, a wife, a mother, I babysit. I used to be a personal trainer and nutrition specialist. So I try to take as good a care of myself as possible.
Yeah.
Because of my situation. Obviously, I was actually more physically active. Like after I gave birth to both my kids.
Okay.
I decided, you know, I needed to get in some shape, some sort, you know.
Yeah.
At some point, you're like, okay, I'm not getting any younger. And I always thought that was a cliche, but it's so true that I need to start maintaining where I'm at now, at least, you know. Mm-hmm. So I stayed as physically active as possible. And then I found that to be really a joyful time, you know, walking, running, physical activity. I found that very cathartic.
Yeah.
So I thought, what better way to make a living than to, you know, do something I truly would help me as well as the client, because every client I worked with, I worked out with. I wasn't on my phone. I didn't deviate from paying 100% attention to them and doing the physical activity with them, because I would never ask anybody to do something that I wouldn't do myself.
Yeah.
Or didn't know how to do even. Mm-hmm. So I stayed physically fit that way. I was that personal trainer for 15 years, and then pandemic hit. And I didn't look at it the same way, you know, it didn't feel the same. It wasn't my priority anymore.
Okay. Like just one day you woke up and it just wasn't.
I mean, over the time of the, you know, isolation, when we're all just packed in like sardines.
Oh, the pandemic. Yeah.
Yeah. It kind of just kept seeping into my, I kept going, what is it going to look like now? You know,
right.
What if this is what this is, you know? And I'm like, how do I go about, you know, doing it and feeling right about it when I wasn't even feeling right about just life in general, you know.
Right, you started spiraling a little bit, going down
the hole. But you know, you got stuck in this, you know, cocoon with just your family members, and
right.
it did play a large role. And then I was communicating with my clients mm-hmm. during those times, and you know, some of them were not on board with wearing masks, and that it did not feel good for me. So there was, it culminated in a few different things. So
yeah,
the thing that felt right was to take a step back from it for a little bit, and I haven't been back. So while I feel a part of it is ingrained in me,
mm-hmm.
it's how I look at life. I don't feel the need to do a one-on-one personally with another person.
Okay.
I feel like I would prefer to even like hit the masses a little more, you know. I did start a YouTube channel so that I could at least, you know, get some ideas out there about cooking and
okay,
working out and all kinds of life stuff. So, but I started noticing the pain right after I turned about 38.
Okay.
I was doing personal training professionally at that point. I had just passed my personal training test.
Mm-hmm.
And I just started noticing, I was just kind of achy and just didn't feel good. And I felt like I had the flu.
Right.
Which not a lot of fibro people say it correlates to, which
yes,
a little bit. But I'm just like, okay, you're run down, you're running around, you're taking care
right.
of kids, you're doing all kinds of school, you know, stuff. Maybe it's just, you know,
your body just, you know, yelling.
Telling you to slow down, right?
Yeah.
Telling you to slow down. But it just kept, like, I'd recuperate for a little bit, and then I'd backslide again. And
okay.
Okay, I'm not comfortable with this. It doesn't feel right.
Something's wrong.
Yeah, like 3 years before that, I had been diagnosed with hypothyroidism, even okay. though I've always been, other than my youth, when I had the baby fat still,
mm-hmm.
I've always been a very thin person.
Mm-hmm.
I think my pregnancies where I was with my first daughter, I weighed 167. I got to 167 pounds, and that's the okay. biggest I've ever been. And I dropped back down to 130, went back up to 160, and then that's when I started working out.
Okay.
Because I kept the 135, but my body just didn't feel comfortable with that. And then maybe that's what started it to, there was so many things that factored into, you know, they're not sure what started fibro initially. Some say it's a dormant virus in your system. Some say it's trauma. Some say it's, you know, a car accident and I've had all those things. So
okay.
who knows? I kind of also feel like I've had it my entire life in a sense.
You got up with when did you go to the doctor after you started feeling like this?
Oh God, I went to the doctor many, many times. Okay. Oh. I had a male doctor. I went to him. I told him what was happening. I was also going to my dentist because at this time I was also having jaw pain.
Oh, okay.
But I've always had jaw issues. One of them, I believe, is from a car accident. So where my jaw should have been wired shut, like with the other two people that had been in the car. But apparently I acted normal. So, I mean, I was only four, so I don't really know like what all happened. I just know that my mom and my sister got their jaws wired shut and I didn't. I ended up just waiting out in the waiting room. And I don't even know if I got fully checked out. I really
oh my goodness.
I don't remember.
Wow.
I really don't remember. So I feel like it might have started then.
Mm-hmm.
But I've also had viruses. I've had a throat infection that would not go away. Right around the time that I started becoming a personal trainer,
okay.
I remember I had to take several rounds of different antibiotics. And yeah, that triggered something because that's
okay.
when I really started to feel it. Like right around 38, But when 40 hit, I was just a basket case.
And you were diagnosed with fibromyalgia at that time?
No, male doctor would not diagnose me. He said, what you need to do is go to a therapist because you're depressed. And I said, no, what you don't seem to understand is I'm depressed because I'm in pain. I'm not in pain because I'm depressed. And he kept going, no, you know, you're not listening to me. You're not listening to me. I go, no, you're not listening to me.
Right.
And then he sent me a letter saying he no longer wanted to see me.
You were discharged as a patient. You were a difficult patient.
Right. I sat and cried it in his office. And apparently that was a no. I go, you don't want to help me.
Right.
And he goes, you don't want to listen to what I'm saying. And I go, ugh, what are you doing?
Frustrating.
Such a frustrating moment. And I, to this day, will not go to a male doctor.
Yeah, trauma.
But I also sent him a thank you card when I found my doctor that I have now that I love. And I said, oh, thank you for firing me as a patient because I found somebody that will believe me and listen to me and treat me like, wow, like a human being.
Well, good for you. You got the last word in there.
Felt so good.
I bet.
That card. I'm like, I know it's offhanded or passive aggressive or whatever, but
that's okay.
I didn't care at that point.
Yeah.
So a lot of it, I feel like I felt some of these pains and aches and things
for a long
like
time.
My whole life, all growing up. I always had jaw pain. Like I always felt like my jaw would click.
Okay.
I chewed gum to excess. That couldn't have been any part of it whatsoever.
No, not at all.
You know, the big chunks of Hubba Bubba sitting on the side of your mouth, you know.
Yes.
Like you end up chewing on like rubber.
Yes.
That has nothing to do with it whatsoever. But I always felt like, I always kept telling like, I needed to be stretched out. Like I didn't feel like my body got to be long enough. So I always felt like my joints had been like shoved up into my body.
Okay.
Like, I didn't get like relief sometimes. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes I would feel totally fine.
Okay.
So I know some of it is from growth. I know everybody gets that in a sense.
Yeah.
But it felt like it kept happening residually, like for my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I never had good periods. Those were always horrifying. Migraines, I've always gotten migraines. So when this fibro diagnosis came down, I then got diagnosed after that with, not only was I hypo, but I had Hashimoto's.
Hashimoto's. Okay.
So, you know, they have to biopsy you every few years to make sure
nothing's changing. Yeah.
And those biopsies would just wreck me for weeks afterwards. I'd be like the stress from just like them you're basically putting a needle in your neck.
Right.
And sawing back and forth.
Okay.
To get little chunks of your thyroid out.
Thyroid, yeah.
So what else can you do in that situation? But tighten up everything, right?
Right. Yeah.
Relax. It'll be okay. It won't.
No, and you can't relax.
And they don't. It's not like they go, okay, here's a muscle relaxer, or here, do this before you come, or. Mm-hmm. And I mentioned this to my endocrinologist. I'm like, I cannot do these biopsies anymore.
Yeah,
they are wrecking me, and I'm not sure if I'm bouncing back to where I should be before you did this, you know.
Right, right.
And is it really that important? I would rather have it out, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
She actually told me this last time when we did the ultrasound that the nodules have gotten a little bit smaller and stuff.
Okay.
So I'm encouraged by that. And she's like, sure. Well, we have to do a biopsy as long as the ultrasounds keep coming back pretty
normal, you know,
normal
your
for me.
Normal.
Yeah, my normal, whatever that may be. But the pain from it just exacerbated, you know, everything else. So
right. And the anxiety preparing for these biopsies just wrecked your entire body.
Oh, yes. And it happens every time I go to visit my rheumatologist. It's just, she can go, okay, she'll do the pressure point test and I'll just be like,
yeah, that hurts. And they really push and it's like they have to, but it lingers for about 2 days on me.
Yeah, that is something that you can't explain to a person that doesn't deal with pain on a daily basis. Like everybody else starts, I shouldn't say everybody else. Everybody's got some
majority. Yeah.
But a good portion of people wake up every day. They can sit up. They can do their thing. You know, they don't go to a doctor that tells them, oh, you're just getting older. Don't worry about it. That kind of thing. I got that blow off too as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's like, I don't sit up. I kind of lean up. I kind of, you know, kind of give myself a good momentum, but then I don't let it hinder me. Like, I think of my pain level as my, I don't want to say superpower, but my,
your strength.
I go out with this suit of armor on already. Like I'm already in beast mode, right? Do not mess with me. I would say that word, but you know,
you're on a mission.
I have to go out there and do what I'm doing and I have to do the entire thing in its entirety and then just sit down. Because then if I sit down before that, or if I get too comfortable,
you can't finish.
And then I feel, there's guilt factor, right?
Yes.
So it's like, okay, then I'm pushed back a day. Right. And then if I overdo it to make up for the 2 days before then, it's like a schedule. And you got to do like the reverse math, they call it, right? Okay, yes. I'm doing this major lifting of boxes or whatever, or, you know, I have to take a long trip, you know, because my daughter goes to school in Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
My husband's actually bringing her back right now, but I drove her home.
Oh,
and
my God.
5 hours there and 5 hours back.
There's no way. Oh, my goodness. But so you got to do it. You do it. Yeah.
But I love her and I'm glad when she's home and I think she's a cool person. So I would go get her from anywhere. But it is taxing.
Yes. And you pay the price for it.
And then I'm just like, okay, how long am I going to be down or how much time do I need to recuperate? So that has to be factored in. And then I babysit two little kids, 5 and 6,
mm-hmm.
3 days a week. And, you know, I make the dinners and, you know, I help entertain them and, you know, we do all kinds of stuff. So, but I also feel like those two little kids get me up and moving and giving me some energy that I wouldn't normally have with, say, older people.
I was just going to say, when you said make dinners, I was going to ask, if you didn't have to make them dinners, would you be getting up? Would you take those days and stay in bed? But they give you a little purpose on those 3 days. You have to get up. You've got to push through. You've got to make the dinners. Like, they need to eat. It's like, really push through.
And their mom and dad, they really value like my help a lot. They are
that's so nice.
How wonderful I am. The mom is constantly going, Kristen, it's gonna make me cry.
Aw.
I cannot do this without you. I could not do this without you.
You are so valued.
Well, I pick them up from school, I bring them home, we have a snack. Mm-hmm. I let them do the homework with them. I think that's important for bonding time for them to go through their day. They can sit and talk with them about school. On our way back from picking both up, because they go to different schools right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I asked them, what was their favorite part of the day? Did you eat all your lunch? You know, did you get to go outside, get some fresh air? These are all things I did with my kids. And I enjoyed every moment of that. And I think my kids saw that I respected them as people.
Little humans. Yeah.
Because I think it's important to not just go, you need to earn my respect and da 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 da.
Yeah.
They don't know what that means. You have to show them what respect looks like. Sure. And they're just little humans. They need as much respect as you do. And if you don't show them how to treat you and you don't appreciate their value, their opinions, their, you know, whatever they have to say, because when they're like that, they're little, they don't know how to communicate but to scream or be upset or cry. Right. Or laugh or whatever.
Right. They're learning too.
Right. And if they're having a bad day, but they say, Mom, or Miss Kristen, can you come play with me? I say, absolutely, let's go. Because in that moment in time, I can get them kind of off kilter to ask them about certain things.
Sure.
I don't usually turn on the TV unless they're out sick from school or something.
Yeah.
Most of the time I want like their focus.
Right.
So I appreciate that because I'm showing them that I want their respect. Mm-hmm. You know, look at me. I'm talking directly to you. I'm giving you eye to eye contact. Yeah. And I'm appreciating what you're saying.
I bet. And they feel that from you, that they are being appreciated too.
These darn little kids, those are the other two that make me cry, because the one little boy says, Kristen, why are you so nice?
Aww.
I said, because it's free.
Aw, great answer.
It is. I can't afford a lot of things. I had two girls in college, you know, three years apart. And
life is expensive. Just groceries are crazy. So,
yes. Yeah, so I'm just like, everything I did with my kids, we did free stuff constantly. So library programs. We used to make lunches and have picnics in the mall on Christmas break if it was too cold outside to do anything outside. So, I mean, I had to be creative. I had to improvise, you know, I had to think on the fly. I had to befriend people that had a museum and Zoom.
That's right. That's how it started.
Yeah. So I think my kids appreciated that while we didn't have much, we did as much as we could with what we had access to.
Right.
And I think they still think that way, which I'm grateful for.
Yes.
They're not always going to have the most successful time, you know?
Right. If no one does. If
bad, you don't know how good you got it, right?
Right. So
there are going to be issues. You're always going to go, oh, shoot, I'm glad I got through that. Doesn't mean there isn't more coming. And I'm not trying to say that in a negative manner. I'm just trying to say that as a prepared person who deals with levels of pain and how they affect like your everyday life.
Sure.
And you almost prep for some of the stupidest things, you know, that may never come.
Right.
Or you worry overly because you're not only worried for yourself, but your entire family, like you're the last one, right? So everybody comes to you before they go, oh, okay, well, if mom doesn't know, then we really need to.
And we're in trouble.
She's the schedule holder, you know, she's the people gatherer. She's the cook, the nurse, the therapist, the what have you. And a lot of times she doesn't get any of that, right?
Right. You wear all the hats, yes.
And I'm not saying that like I'm holier than thou or anything. Believe me, I made a lot of mistakes.
Of course. And
I regret them like, you know, forever. But I can't carry that around, you know.
Right. It's not
healthy. I don't think anybody expects me to, you know. I don't. I apologize where I need to, and I take as much accountability as I can think to, you know. A lot of times I don't see the whole picture.
Right.
And if people want to point that out to me, I'm willing to listen, you know, but I don't, I can't live past.
In the past.
Past.
No, it's not healthy. You need to let it go. And the decision.
And a lot of it's too traumatic. You know, it's too.
Yeah.
It doesn't present a positive thought process, and it doesn't keep me from thinking forward.
No, and you need to forgive yourself for that time. You made decisions based on what you thought were right or in survival mode. So right. You may do something different now, but you're older, you're wiser, different circumstances, and you've grown from that experience, but it's in the past. Forgive yourself and you move on, make better choices. That's all you can do. It's life.
And I know in my heart, there was nothing ill will or purposeful, like I need this. So, you know, back, you know, there was never that intention. So I know with how I dealt with it was exactly what you said. Mm-hmm. You know, there was no other way to configure things. So
you made decisions based on that.
I had to go with the lesser of two evils sometimes, you know?
Yes.
The
girls growing up at a young age, did they know that you were sick at times or like mommy couldn't do something because you weren't feeling well or your pain was too bad? Like, how did they grow up with you?
Okay. For a long time, I don't even think they knew.
Okay.
Like, I don't recall like mentioning it until it started to really like affect me. So like the first couple years, while trying to regulate like my medication dosages that I got on and things, and starting antidepressants and weaning myself off them and just deciding they're just not my cup of tea.
Uh-huh.
I don't think I wore it as much as when they got older and I felt they needed to know kind of why. Sometimes I just pop off or I just get like in explode mode, not like angry to the point where I'm like, I'm gonna, you know, it was like, I just need a break, you know.
Yeah, your body.
My limit. I love you guys, but back off.
Right. You know? Mom needs a minute.
I'll just come out and say, I'm really crabby today. You might want to stay as far away from me as possible, but I've given you fair warning.
Okay.
So, come at me. I'll probably pop off. But it's never been anything where they're like, oh my God, mom, oh, I'm so
scared. They're packing their backpack.
Right. They've always been, okay, gotcha. Uh-huh. And I don't really think it started to get like that until I progressed, you know.
And when did you start progressing?
Oh gosh, that's a very good question. I would say so technically I was diagnosed 2008-ish. That's when I started to really feel it, but I hadn't been diagnosed with it yet. Then around 2009 is when I found the doctor that I love and has been with me, and my endocrinologist. I kind of found them both at the same time.
Okay.
And then, so that's when I started noticing like more jaw issues.
Uh-huh.
Because I notice when I sleep, I not grind my teeth so much as like
clenching,
bite down. Like,
yeah.
I'm living my anger in my sleep. I don't know. But we tried mouth guards, we tried all kinds of things, and all I did was wake up with a sore jaw because I actually bite on it on purpose, you know, to like, and it was just making things worse. So I actually had to have what's called arthrocentesis, where they take the bad fluid out of your jaw and they flush it out and get rid of like any infection or anything in there. And then they put new fluid. I call it my oil change.
Wow, it sounds like it.
And I had that and they wanted me to start chewing right away and working with, you know, it was like an outpatient, it was like an emergency outpatient thing. Because they sent me to physical therapy and the physical therapy was actually making my mouth go like smaller. So he's like, open your mouth and I could open it about that far. And he's like, okay, we got a problem. And so the oral surgeon's like, we need to do this procedure. And that's what I just described to you about the oil change, so to speak. And they put me out in the dental chair.
Mm-hmm.
And proceeded to take these needles and it out.
Holy cow.
Flush it out. And then, and I actually need to have it done again because I keep this side of this jaw on this side seems to get swollen. Like for random reasons, I still have not figured it out. I talked to my dentist about it. I talked to an oral surgeon about it. I don't understand why both sides hurt, but this side seems to like go like get poofy.
Wow.
And like It's very weird. And it gets to the point where I have to be on soft foods for a couple weeks. Yeah, it's pretty damaging. Yeah.
Yeah, it's.
And then I'm supposed to do it again, but the oral surgeon I got sent to is no bueno. And
Need to find
honestly,
another one.
something. I wish I could go back to the other one, but he's not on my insurance, my first one, because he's not on my insurance, but he was really great. He was super. And it improved almost immediately. Like
Wow,
right
okay.
after I started chewing a cheeseburger, I think I started crying
Oh.
because I'd been on scrambled eggs and soup and, you know,
Applesauce, yogurt, all the stuff that
oh
there's, yeah,
gosh.
that's
And
enough.
frankly, it was just like you would think I'd hate those things now, but I still eat soup and eggs and, you know, everything else, because I have to go back to that soft food, you know,
Right before that again.
every 3 or 4 months, I would say, you know. And I'm not sure if it's something where I'm carrying a lot of stress in my jaw, because I know I do that. I do feel like women in general do that, like carry it up here and on the
On the
shoulder.
shoulders, yeah.
Yeah. So, but you know, it got to the point where I felt like it kept sliding. So I felt like it started mainly up top here, you know, in here because of my jaw. And then I kept asking myself, well, is it my jaw making my body feel like this? Or is it my body making my jaw feel like this? Like, which one started? Because I
Yeah.
feel like one instigates the other. You know what I
Yeah,
mean?
for
Like, if I
sure.
have the jaw pain, I immediately feel more pressure in my shoulders, in my neck, you know, up into my head. And of course, the migraines come.
Migraines,
The
yes.
jaw is just doesn't feel aligned right, or like, you know, I'll have these moments where the migraines, I'll wake up with one, or I'll go to sleep with one, or I'll still have one after having, you know, so that's an issue. And then people don't understand how much fibro affects like your whole system,
It's the
like
entire body.
from top to bottom. And so does your thyroid. Your thyroid is supposed to control your whole system. But
Right.
I have no temperature gauge, so my body can fluctuate. Even in 90-degree weather, I can be freezing,
Holy
you know,
cow.
or I can be sweating on a 0-degree day and
Wow.
then, you know, start freezing my booty off because the sweat has then frozen, right?
Oh my gosh.
And then there's the, you know, the gastro issues, you know, and just memory issues.
The brain fog. Oh my
The
goodness.
brain fog is just cruel. It's just like,
That
I get
is
all this other stuff.
cruel.
Can I at least remember all of it, please? Or why I'm
I
going
know.
to where I'm going? Or
Yeah,
I feel like I
it's just.
talk to myself out loud more now because I want to hear myself say what I'm doing next, hoping that it's kind of like a recording in my ear to
Yes.
say, oh, wait, think back. What was that you just said to yourself? And sometimes it
I
works.
write it down because I have a photographic memory. So
I
I write
know.
it down so that I picture it. And then
Yes.
I did post-it notes, but then I was forgetting where I was putting them. I mean,
I would forget to.
it's real. The brain
It
fog
is.
is real.
I would forget to write it down, to be honest. So, like, I got to the point where the note thing in your phone
Yes.
is like filled. Mine is filled with random thoughts. I kind of look at it as my journal.
Yeah, that's helpful.
I kind of use it for my YouTube channel if I come up with an idea or something I want to make or some way to make it better or more healthy or something like that. I'll write that down. Or if I come up with an episode name, because those are hard.
Yeah.
Or if I am trying to remember a recipe and I keep forgetting the same ingredients, or I write down my daughter's zip codes because for some reason I can remember their addresses.
But not
Zip
the
code goes
zip
right out of my head every time. And if I say it all together, sometimes it clicks. But yeah, that memory thing is the worst. And I do everything to make that not be scary to me. because my grandma had dementia and Alzheimer's. And so in my head, you know, sometimes you just go to the worst case scenario, like, oh my God, I can't remember what I was just going to do. And it terrifies me because I can sit down and I'm like, sometimes it'll never come back.
And it's not progressive, I heard, though, that the brain fog isn't really destroying our brain or affecting. I mean, it's affecting the brain, but not physically.
Okay.
Well, so that's I hope that, you know, that was from my neurologist, because I'm on seizure medication that also causes severe brain fog. So I'm lucky I remember my name. So, but
oh my goodness.
He said, yeah. But neither one is progressive. And I was like, oh, well, that's sure. Good to know.
Well, things like that, like sometimes I go to the doctor and I want to mention things that, but at the moment aren't hurting. And then when I leave, I automatically just go, I'm yeah. so angry because I didn't remember that that has been bothering me, this, that, or the other thing.
Whatever. Right.
So that's aggravating to me. And then yes. I find that if I read things about symptoms of my disease, I feel like my body automatically adopts them. Like,
really?
Yeah, like I feel like I'm giving it a suggestion and my body is taking way too many liberties with what it can adopt and what it can't.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think of it as a like a demon, you know, kind of in my system, you know.
An entity, like yes.
you know, that every once in a while I'd like to expel.
Yes. And then
people, you say, I really wish I could get out of my skin for 5 minutes. And they don't understand what that means. That
no, and you'd like to give it to them for 5 minutes.
true. But honestly, I say to myself, I hope that if I have it, it prevents somebody else from having it. Truly.
Yes, I like to think that way too.
I don't ever want my kids to get this. I wouldn't ever want another family member to know what this feels like.
No, I can't believe that this actually exists and it's like a long-term suffering for
with
people.
With no cure. No, you know, you're just supposed to be okay because, okay, you don't have cancer and you don't have this or that or the other thing that has a treatment.
Right. And
it's, I don't want to deny anything to anyone by any mm-hmm. means, but it's just like, I just want a little something.
Yeah.
I don't want it to be a prescription medication. I wish it was something I could physically do.
Right.
To, or something how I ate would make it alleviate itself. Or if I had just ignored it, it would go away for 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I feel like that when I take a nice Epsom bath, which are just
heaven.
Oh my God. Yeah, you get me in one of those. I think I'm in there for a good hour and a half because I make the water so freaking hot
mm-hmm.
that I'm surprised I'm not jumping out with like blisters on my skin.
Yeah.
I just enjoy how it releases that pain pinch kind of that like tightness when I step into that bath with that extremely hot water. It immediately goes.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to live in there forever.
It gives you that mental break for just that little bit of time to recharge and restart. God. It gives you that break that you need.
I couldn't do it without the Epsoms. I could not do it. I use Village Natural Therapies and they are brilliant. They have like essential stuff in them.
Mm-hmm.
And they have one called Comfort and it's just beautiful.
Is it on Amazon?
Yep. You can get it on Amazon. You can get it on their website. I love it. It's called Comfort. It's purple bag for the Epsom salts. And then they also have a body wash and I use it as a bubble bath.
Oh.
And when I get in there with the Epsoms and the bubble bath together, I'm just like, I am out. Forget about it. Done. I am. Don't talk to me. Don't pretend I'm not here. Don't make a sound though.
Yeah, quiet.
Because I'm a very light sleeper. Nice. That's part of my issue is like I can immediately wake up at the slightest.
The light of sound, huh?
Pain or something that happens too, I'm just like up, and then I'm up.
Yeah.
So sleep.
You're tired all day.
The sleep has been an issue for I don't know how long.
Yeah.
That one really, and we all know we rejuvenate that way. You know, that's how your body recuperates, is to sleep it off, as I like to say. You know, you're sleeping it off. But when your body has that break of, oh, okay, all of a sudden, I just need to be awake.
Right.
3:47 in the morning. Somehow my body thinks that that's a really great time to pop up and go, okay, what are we doing? And I really want to know what we're doing, because 2 seconds ago, I was dead asleep.
Mm-hmm.
But I can easily... And I know that I need that sleep. And I know I've done a good preparation across the board to try and get that sleep. But I don't know.
Sometimes the body has different ideas when it's being attacked like that.
And then I'm going through menopause as well. So that's a trigger. The hot flashes are a trigger.
That is just brutal. That is just, and it's so unnecessary. It's like, why?
Right? Like, I don't. Okay, so when I first noticed that, that the menopause had started, I wasn't relieved. I was a type of person that was like, if I can have my period for as long as I can have it, I'm going to have it. You know, okay. I felt like it was keeping me a little bit, I don't know, younger. I felt. Younger. You know, and I know I hear that from a lot of people. It's just like, you're keeping those hormones in your system for longer.
Sure.
I mean, that's gotta be a detriment, you know, that's gotta be a positive thing, you would think, right?
Yeah.
So, but 50 hit, and that's when it happened. Like, it just felt like it all started. And then that's when the body aches started getting a little more intense, you know?
Okay.
A little more, they could be a little bit more powerful. They're a little bit more stabby, I would say. You know, like in the joints sometimes, I can have like this sharp shooting pain that like stabs you in the wrist and then like shoots down your hand. Or your ankles that day feel super tight and super like not functional. Like,
right. They're so not they feel allowing super the movement.
Mm-hmm. Right. They're immobile in a sense. I mean, I know I can move my feet.
Right.
They seem like they move okay. But when I start to move the joints, like when I do my fingers, and I do crochet, so a lot of times I'm just like, why am I doing crochet?
Right.
But it is it's a cathartic thing for me. But
sure.
It does take some, like, you know, I can only go so long before I'm, you know, doing a lot of self myofascial kind of release type, you know, where you're just kind of squeezing and releasing.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like I get that same sensation when I take like the Epsom baths, like,
yeah,
you know, it's super tight and then you get that release. But then I feel like as soon as you get out, it's like,
yeah, you got about 10 minutes. Enjoy it.
I used to love chiropractic and the stem, the, you know, the TENS machines. And then I also loved acupuncture.
Yeah.
Loved it. Love, love, love it. But as soon as you take the needles out and you go home, that drive home is stressful enough. You already lost me.
Yeah.
Like 20 minutes where those needles are in you are mm-hmm. like the most relaxing, and then they come in and they're like, we're turning on the light. I'm like, no, don't do that to me.
Yeah, I know, because it gives
and then you get in the car. Needed
relief. Yep.
You get in the car and you drive home, and I'm already, you know, at this heightened sense of awareness, I feel like, right?
Right.
Because your body's a buzz when you're already in pain. Like, I feel there's this low-level humming, like coming out of all the pain areas, right?
That's what I say, a vibration. You can definitely feel the vibration.
And it's not a nice one. Like,
if
it was a massage, it would be great, right? We'd be all
yeah.
But it's not. It's this intense kind of, it almost feels like you're getting constantly stung by bees a little bit. Like that heat in your joints is just so intense. And then those joints, if you could move them, would just probably feel better, but they lock up on you.
Do you have any good days, or is there always a level of pain for you?
That's a good question. I would say on average, I always have a dull pain.
A dull humming pain.
A dull humming pain. Yeah, that's just below the surface, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of call it my demon because I feel like if I would let it out, it would just consume me. You know,
okay.
I would just become that demon person.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to go there. I don't think it's other people's fault that I'm in pain, but I also try to explain to them how it feels. And sometimes when they don't understand, it just doesn't hurt me, but it aggravates me because I can't explain it good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't understand, it just makes me so angry. Like,
it's very frustrating.
Why can you not see what this does to me? Like, I used to be this really outgoing, I'm not going to call myself the life of the party. I was never like popular in high school or, you know,
okay.
I was in the band, you know, yeah. I was in the choir. My dad was a preacher all through my childhood in through my, he baptized my kids, but it's uh-huh. just like that kind of affects, how people treat you, believe it or not, what your dad does for a living.
Yes, that is very true.
So to even describe it to my father, he could not possibly understand because his father was not a preacher. So there is this stigma for what's called PKs.
Okay.
That you are either a goody-goody.
Huh.
Or you are a hellion because you're rebelling against the regime. I don't know what
okay.
against religion. I could say I honestly have a different perspective about religion because of how I was raised. I was, in a sense, not. I didn't have a choice whether I went to church or not. It was kind of required.
Yeah. Yeah, it was your dad's job.
Yeah. But not every kid had to go to their dad's job, you know?
Exactly.
So it was kind of an intrusion on growing up and becoming like acting, you know, I'm not saying pious or anything, but
the whole family had to go and support him and the image. The whole
and then you had to be at least, you know, you had to look, it had to come off good.
Mm-hmm.
I'll put it
image
down.
Yeah,
and I would say, and I've told this to my husband before, I would say there was two sides to my family because my dad was one way with the church and the parishioners and the board of trustees and all that, and then there he was way different with us. So it was just like, how did you pick being a preacher? He always said because he only had to work one day a week, which is a lie.
Yeah, I bet.
He would visit people in hospitals and he would perform, you know, marriages and funerals. And, you know, he would go and even after he retired, he still did funerals. He wouldn't do weddings anymore because he says that at funerals, the guest of honor can't complain.
There you go. That's a good way to look at it for him.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's true.
So there was always a level of him doing something church related. So I would say I grew up with mostly my mother being home.
Yeah.
Like a homemaker.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But I would say I pretty much raised myself in general. Mm-hmm. Like I did a lot of my own way. I would explain that more, but the trauma behind it is still something I'm kind of
working with. It's childhood with. Trauma.
And it's not anything like you would think. It's just like
it's your trauma.
Yeah.
It's but, your trauma. It doesn't matter if right. your trauma is
I
bigger
appreciate
or smaller.
That. So much. I wish somebody could explain it to other people because they don't seem to get that. So
that's why I'm doing this podcast, and that's why
And I so appreciate that. You do not know how excited I got when I thought or knew I was going to get to tell my story. Because it's just like all everybody hears is, oh, you're in pain. Oh, you're in pain. Oh, you're in pain. Da, 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 da,
oh,
da.
I want to know you.
Right. But they don't hear what how I'm saying it. Like this is crushing to me. Like I took care of myself. You know, I can imagine where I would be if I didn't take care of myself. Like I feel that I would be so much worse.
Mm-hmm.
I would be so much worse. And mentally speaking, I have to thank my kids, and I feel like my family and my animals, like my pets are like key.
Oh my gosh. They're like the pets. People don't realize they are just, they're a necessity.
Oh
they
my God.
Really are.
I really couldn't do it without them. Now my kids, I bounce everything off of them, but mm-hmm. there's something to be said for just not having to say anything to this being.
Yeah.
And and he already understands.
Mm-hmm.
Like if I start crying, he immediately comes over and he puts his head on my lap.
Aww.
And like, mama is going to be okay.
Yeah.
Just a puppy.
I'm here.
He just turned one last week.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so great though. You've got so many years.
I know. I'm so excited. And he's such a big guy already. He's probably already 80 pounds.
What kind?
Well, all I know is his mother is a Australian cattle dog or blue heeler.
Okay.
But I do not know what his dad is or was. I only got to meet the mom at the foster place.
Aw.
But I think the dad probably is something big.
Something huge.
German Shepherd, Rottweiler, Pitty maybe. None of those offend me. So I'm just like, bring it on, whatever it may be. I want to have a farm because I need the peace.
Yeah.
Like I live close to Chicago, but you know, the space we have, while I have a decent sized yard and everything, and
mm-hmm.
it was fine for where we lived because we were in a really good school system, and you know, I wanted the kids to go to a really good school, so it was fine for where we lived for that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm ready to have some peace in my life and maybe not have my neighbor kind of up my butt.
Yeah, the houses are close there. We lived in Schaumburg, Hoffman Estates. Then
okay.
We bought in McHenry, and my sister still lives in Crystal Lake.
Oh, okay. I'm in like Oaklawn area. If
you okay.
know, like, southwest side of Chicago.
Yep.
I actually live in Hickory Hills. So, and while my neighborhood is pretty decent, all the houses look the same.
Yeah, you want some land and animals.
We bought my husband's childhood home.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because his mom gave us a really nice deal, and
sure, you kept it in the family.
Fix it up, you know, because we probably couldn't have afforded as big a place as, and it's not big by any means.
Mm-hmm.
It's like 1,100 square feet, but it kept us close.
Yeah.
You know, I don't like these huge houses. Like you get lost in there and then you just fill it with stuff.
And then you got to clean that stuff.
Right. And I'm trying to get rid of stuff. I don't want the clutter. The clutter
right.
Overwhelms me.
It like, exactly. It overstimulates the system. It's just too much stuff and clutter.
And then you're like on fire. Like you're like, zing.
Yes, I get that
really
too.
To mellow it out. So I am trying to, you know, I have a for sale sign out front.
Mm-hmm.
I got it for sale by owner right now, but it might flip at any moment because I'm just like, I am not, while I like real estate and looking at houses and stuff, I'm ready to be done.
Yeah. Oh,
really
yes.
Not working out as far as like doing it myself. Because I really don't. I'm not comfortable just opening my door by myself.
Sure. To anyone.
My husband's not home till later. And it would just be easier if while I'm babysitting during the day, that they can show it whenever. It's
yeah.
just the animals that I would have. I have a bunny rabbit also.
Okay.
That really, really saved me. Like, if you have ever communicated with someone or some being, that has no way to communicate whatsoever. None. Rabbits don't typically make a noise. They don't purr. They don't.
No, my sister had one. She still has one. Scream. Doesn't make any noise.
So the only way he could communicate with me when he was irritated or was not happy with the situation was to thump his feet, thump his back feet, right? That spoke volumes.
Why? Like, tell me.
There was just so much he said to me just by those thumpings. Like,
so how did he save you?
Well, just the quiet. Like, I stopped talking and defending myself, you know? I stopped thinking that I had to put up this front, that I'm this, you know, this person that can do anything. Just ask me and, you know, I'll make that for you and I'll do this for you. And I started to not be able to do that anymore. And I just had to start to quiet myself.
Uh-huh.
I kind of just introvert. Not stay inside myself, but just stay inside and just think about everything, you know? I kind of just did my memoirs in my head, in a sense.
Okay.
Like, I went through everything, and I went through with, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. Me. I'm okay with it. That's all that matters. In this moment in time, that's got to be pretty much all that matters. Mm-hmm. Because in the end, if I start worrying all the time about other people that don't worry about me, I don't have the time. It's too exhausting.
Did you go to therapy for all of this? Or are you just so in tune to your body and your thoughts that you have, I mean, you're doing
therapy. I've been to therapy before.
Okay.
Many years ago, probably before I got married.
Mm-hmm.
And then I tried therapy again, and it was one and done with the woman that
just wasn't for you at that time. Yeah.
At that time. And I wasn't into looking for something else. And it's ironic that you asked me that, because I just the other day did a consult with a therapist, and I'm going to be starting again.
Okay. But
a lot of the work I have literally done myself.
You've done a great job.
Thank you. It's nice to hear. It is something that is work. It is journaling, and I do. My journaling sessions got to be kind of far apart, because as I write, I notice things, that, and while I write, I press kind of hard, and it gets a little hard to do.
A little aggressive.
Yeah, so I started to not be able to write physically write things down. So that's why, okay, I was saying the note things on my phone,
yeah,
started becoming this lifeline for me. And during pandemic, I forced my girls outside, and we'd go for walks. I'd ask them questions about stuff like, what's got you worried? Or what do you think you're going to do with your degree? Or what do you think about how I'm doing? Or is there something that I've done that you would think I needed to apologize for? Or maybe I did and you don't remember, or maybe I didn't think I hurt you that way. Or, you know, it was like, I was ready to face it all. Like, life's too freaking short.
Sure is.
And for to have to carry around this level of pain already, and then to add all the other pressure.
It's too much.
I can't do it.
No.
And honestly, I would say my girls did a lot to help me with some of that. Like, they're really good listeners, and they've been super duper supportive of so many things that I'm trying to do. And I want to farm. I want to be at peace. I have to have cows.
Have you seen those mini cows?
I have to have them. I want them all.
Oh my gosh.
Fine. I want the mini cows. I want a whole mini farm.
Yeah.
The mini cows, the mini horses, the mini donkeys, the mini goats, and then chickens.
You do that, and our next podcast will be in person. I will be coming there.
I would open a farm to not only educate myself, because I only know from what I've read. I do a lot of reading as far as that goes. But I just, I am such a tactile learner that hands-on, I mean, I never had a bunny rabbit. And during pandemic, I got my bunny rabbit. And I just learned as I went. I read everything. I went to the grocery store and I said, can my rabbit have this? Can my Google? I mean, oh my God. I tell my girls, you know, Google didn't exist when I was growing up. We had to go to the library.
My kids don't believe it.
Newspaper clippings. And you had to interview people that were around during that time.
Yes.
Or, you know, and you had to have bibliographies and you had to have, oh my gosh.
And we survived.
We survived without seats and car seats.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy. So going back a little bit, so you have the fibromyalgia, you have the Hashimoto's. Right. Are those the two health conditions that you're dealing with, or is there more?
I mean, other than undiagnosed things. I'm pretty sure I have IBS because of the fibro. I'm pretty
and stress sure. And
I have some sort of migraine, you know, they don't pop up. Sometimes I can go for years without them.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes, like when my jaw's messed up, I can get them whenever I chew.
Okay.
So
fibro is your
is the one leading the way, kind of. Yes.
Okay.
And then all those things like derive from it, you know, it sprouts out from it. Like, and then of course the menopause is not my friend.
No.
She is not helping at all.
Yeah.
I think it should be called something else. Like women in charge or something. I feel like everything is about men. Why are we calling it menopause? Men on pause, maybe.
Maybe. That would be a good one.
But they also don't say men go through that kind of thing too.
I don't know about that.
I feel like my husband is, but maybe, I don't know. Everybody's different.
Everybody's different is right. What, now on the, not to bring you backwards, but you got diagnosed. I feel, was that more of a relief that you had a diagnosis to all this pain and things that were going on in your body, or was it more of a devastation that made you just want to curl up?
That's so funny, because I was just, before I came on, I was like, okay, what did I think about it? Like, I would say for the most part, I was in denial about how much it was going to affect me.
Oh, like, okay.
And I still feel like that's part of the reason why I don't look up additional, symptoms or side effects or what have you from whatever.
Yeah.
I probably lived in a good state of denial for a while, because I felt like I lived above it pretty well. I was on a good trajectory.
Mm-hmm. You know?
But then I noticed I kept slipping, and then when I'd come back, I wasn't coming back all the way. Mm-hmm. You know, like even during my personal training days and things, like I would be stretching is my friend. I find stretching completely amazing. Like if you can stretch long enough to get that rubber band to kind of release in your body,
yeah,
it's just this amazing kind of
release. It helps. Yeah, it really helps.
It's something that only lasts for seconds, but I will take it, you know. And I'm constantly doing, you know, I'm going like this, and I got one of those little hand things where I'm constantly digging in, and I can handle a good amount of pain. Like I always thought that people just thought I was this I don't want to say wuss, but
that you had like a low pain tolerance,
right? And I actually have an overly high pain tolerance, because like I can totally ignore something for as much as I need to.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But as soon as I sit down and give it some oxygen,
yeah,
then it's on.
Mm-hmm.
So people don't understand that when you're doing that, you're not doing it because you're happy about it. I don't go around buzzing around all day, you know, constantly moving and doing things. I think to myself, I don't really want to be doing this, but if I'm not doing this, I'm doing something to feel sorry for myself.
Okay. Right?
That's how I look at it, is if I'm in sitting mode, I feel like I'm having a pity party. And I don't want to give it that amount of oxygen. Like, it needs to be snuffed out. It does not need to be,
given it life.
Encouragement. I don't like that. I don't like that it has so much of my time. Like, it didn't earn it.
Right. That's true.
It didn't say, excuse me, I came by to visit. Is it okay if I stay for the rest of your freaking life? No, you didn't ask. You didn't get permission. You know, like, this isn't right. And yeah. I know a lot of people that have illnesses and they don't have to be painful illnesses. But I think with illness comes pain. I don't know of any other way, to be honest, because right. this is what I deal with. Mm-hmm. So I just assume, and I think, okay, if everybody has some level of pain, right? Whether it's mental, physical, emotional, there is going to be something for someone, right? So I've got to say to myself, okay, you're not the only one on this boat. I've got to be just as sympathetic, empathetic to the next person that can't yeah. explain to me the way they feel either, right?
Right.
But I don't think of it that way when I'm already on this heightened sense of awareness, like uh-huh. thing. It doesn't come to your head. The first thing that comes to your head is crap. I'm stressed and I didn't get any sleep and, you know, I'm not hungry or I'm so hungry, but I can't chew or, you know, there's so many things that have to come before that, but it's
very hard. I mean, you seem to be so strong. Do you ever just have a really bad day and spiral down?
I have lots of them.
Okay.
I have a ton of them.
Okay. Are they moments? Are they stretches of days?
They can be stretches of days. They can okay. be a good, especially after something that's happened to me traumatically, like the biopsy.
Okay.
So for that, I will just sit and not do anything as a self-care tactic.
Right. Okay.
Like, I had
that's more of a recovery, I think. It's like right. you're recovering from this procedure. But right. like, you ever just get up and you feel kind of sorry for yourself that this is your life now.
Oh, yeah.
And this is what I have to look forward to.
Absolutely.
How do you get out of that type of day?
Well, a lot of it has to do with, one, I look at my animals. They help a lot. Two, I try to get outside, even if it's just to breathe some fresh air and come right back inside.
Okay.
Based on the weather. If I'm cold, that's no bueno. But if I can get out and walk my dog around the block a couple times,
mm-hmm.
I talk to him. I do a lot of self-talking. Like, if I am in the house, I am talking myself out of, it's like, okay, let's think about this. Like, what's going on? Why do you feel like this? A lot of it is just sleep related or sleep deprivation, I feel like.
Yeah, but we don't sleep, so.
Right. So hard. You still got to keep going.
You
right?
just got to be your own cheerleader.
And so in my head, I'm constantly going, okay, I gotta go. I gotta make dinner or I gotta go pick up stuff for and then the kids, the babysitting, that has turned me around. Like,
big yeah, time.
Like they are the cutest little people. And I think of them as my family and they're my other little family. I just love them to pieces.
That's your life force, getting up every day for them.
Oh my gosh. And if I'm not babysitting that day, I'm thinking about what we're going to be doing the next time I'm babysitting. So we're constantly baking or making dinner or we do crafts or we play Paw Patrol. We'll do a lot of Paw Patrol.
Paw Patrol's the thing.
Or, you know, it's just something where it's just like, it's so simple. It's so simple.
Yeah.
That my head is just, it's just over there.
Not on yourself. It's on them.
Yeah.
You're out of your head for a minute.
And then the mom is just like, you don't understand what you do for us. And I'm like, you don't understand what you do for me.
What they do for you. Yeah.
I go, your kids are the
They're giving you a good purpose.
They really do. And they're sweet kids. And they go, Kristen, you're the best. And we love you. And you're the best babysitter. And then the girl says to me, Kristen,
you remember. That's okay. You deserve it.
You're my superhero.
Yeah, you are. I mean, taking care of her kids, you seem like a fantastic, I mean, I'd want to bring my kids to you.
I always said, and I've read something, it was a meme not too long ago, that says, you care for people the way that you wanted to be cared for growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're the mom that you wanted or needed. And it's just like, I don't think of anything out of the realm of possibility unless I can't afford it.
Yeah. You know?
It's just like, if I can do it for them, I will. Like, I like doing things for other people. I don't think unless they take advantage of me.
Yeah.
And then you have crossed my boundaries.
Sure.
And that is the newest thing I've learned. That is something that has been so invaluable to me and has probably made me feel a little bit better about how I take care of myself.
Uh-huh.
Is that I have had to set boundaries because I've had conversations with people and they're not registering.
Yeah.
So I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I've explained it to you 17 ways from Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And while I know you can't appreciate or understand my pain,
right.
I would appreciate it if you understand that I do not feel good. And what you're doing and saying and how you're acting towards me
mm-hmm.
is not conducive to my feeling better.
No, no. It's not too hard to just to show compassion and empathy to somebody, but you got to have those boundaries up for people who just suck the life out of you.
And believe it or not, people of lost my train of thought here. When you are empathetic, you too tend to pick up people that take advantage of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I am too aware now, as I've gotten older, and I have found people that treat me with respect and give me a positive
treat you how you should be treated.
Feedback. I will not, I cannot go back.
Good for you.
I feel like I keep telling my daughters, I'm like, I'm assembling my tribe, you guys. I'm getting my tribe together.
That's so a good feeling, isn't it?
It is, because you know the people that are rooting for you.
Mm-hmm.
You finally see the ones that were just kind of faking it or were jealous of you and they made it seem like they were cheering for you.
Or talking behind your back, not really believing you. Yep.
You notice them, they stick out like a sore thumb.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, at that point in my, I don't want that. I know, right. I know in my heart of hearts, you're not on my radar. You are not in my, you are not in my vision.
When you have chronic pain and illness, your circle needs to be small and full of support.
Exactly.
And there's just not enough of you to give your energy to people who don't mean well for you.
No. So
that is
and
really
they don't
good.
Understand that's fine, but you don't project negative comments or convictions or just simple phrases where you think you're joking. It's
the passive aggressiveness.
It's really not. It's really not.
Yeah.
And joking, well, sometimes can be joking. If you reiterate it, it's not joking anymore.
Right.
You
yeah.
And
don't need that.
Is
there anything? I'm sorry.
It's not comfortable.
No.
It makes you very uncomfortable with people that you've been related to or friends with or
whatever.
And it's you just got to go, no.
Yep. That door has to
I don't
close.
Wish you ill will, but I don't.
You're not in my circle anymore.
Nope, my circle keeps getting smaller and smaller, and I like it.
Yeah.
It's weird because I want more space, mm-hmm. but I want circle to get smaller.
Right.
Isn't that weird?
No, no.
Like, I want the expanse, but I want to be cradled almost.
Yeah.
I want to be hugged.
Well, for the first, you know, 30 years, you know, 40 years, you've already learned about friendships and closeness and relationships. And now it's like, you can pick and choose now.
Yeah. I need to be aware, because I feel like also, I'm teaching my girls how to be grown women and to not tolerate things that are not good for them.
Right.
Or to not put up with things that people feel is okay to push your buttons a little. It's okay.
Right. And you got to set that example.
And at some point, it's just like, if I respect myself enough, and that takes a lot. Like,
it does.
I didn't know self-respect was so hard to find. Like,
that's
mind-blowing to me.
Yeah.
That I thought I had this level of self-respect when I really just was looking to make other people happy around me so that there would be no conflict.
You're a people pleaser.
And in essence, a perfectionist, and probably have ADHD. And, you know, I don't like leaving things unfinished, but I often do. Because walk away from things that become overwhelming a little bit sometimes.
But do you come back to it? I mean, maybe you just walk away.
It's true value.
So you walk away and you regroup your thoughts.
Yeah. And if I don't realize it's true value, then a lot of times I'm upset about it. If I have let it go and it was something I didn't really want to, I can find some very cathartic, kind of therapy.
I bet. Absolutely.
Because you can definitely get lost in a song. And when my daughters and I are in the car and we're singing, there's definitely, you know, you get that, you know, I'm either getting it out or I'm crying or.
Sure. You
know. Same thing happens with a really good book. My nature is like such a good place for me that I just do it out in the open, out loud, while I'm on a walk. I'm grateful that I'm up and able to walk around.
Yes, for sure.
I'm grateful that I think about these things when they're happening. Like, I got to appreciate that I'm still walking, that I'm still talking, that I still know who I am, and I still know where I am, and I still know what I'm doing. And I still appreciate, like, waking up every day, and whether it's cloudy or sunny or whatever, it's still, you're still up every day, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm still grateful that in my mind, I will not allow myself to sit for too long in that pity.
In the dark hole.
Because it can really grab hold of you. And if you're not paying attention, you'll think you're living at this high functioning level and all this business, and you think you're being all cool and everything, and you're really, really not. You're really not.
No. We wear a mask every day.
Yep, you're seething. If I could take the skin off and they could see like what it really feels like, like you would look at somebody that was battered and bruised, right? Like that's what it feels like. Like you got drugged through a knot hole backwards. You know, that old saying, like, I feel like people have just been tugging on you and tugging at you, you know, like your whole life. And it's like, you just get through this hole and all you got are all these war wounds.
Right. And
it's just like, okay, now I've done this for everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't start doing something and focusing on taking better care of myself.
Right.
Like, I'm going to go down the rabbit hole. Like, you know, you got to start walking again. And this is my mother-in-law passed away in October of 2022. And then 2 days later, my dog passed away.
Oh gosh, I'm sorry.
Yes. So we got hit pretty hard and we had the dog for 16 years. So he lived a long, good life.
Yeah.
And I never knew how much I relied on him to be that face looking back at me when I'd come up the stairs, or, you know, I'd get home from work, or I'd be bringing the kids home from school, and how much they appreciated
right.
him being there, like half their life, over half their lives, you know?
Sure.
So I was just like, I can't do this. I cannot go through my life. And while I had my bunny and he's all well and good, I could not go through my life without
without a furry face.
Without a furry face. And while my bunny's sweet, you can't take him for walks.
Right.
No, he's sweet and he's happy where he's at, you know. But the dog does something meaningful in a sense that, like I said, he senses my emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the first dog I've ever noticed that I've really had that kind of connection with. So animals have always been in my life, pretty much.
Part of your therapy, actually. It's just very therapeutic for you.
It does. It does a number of things. And I've always loved cows. Like, I've always gotten a calming, peaceful. When you, like, look in their eyes, like, there's something to be said for them just looking back at you and going, yeah, I'm nice, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
No, they're just, they're
pure and innocent.
They don't have an agenda. They're not mean-spirited most of the time.
Right.
Unless they're treated poorly. They will follow you anywhere. They're very social creatures.
Yes.
And they're very beautiful. I find that I'm having a harder and harder time as I get older with my love of animals, like eating.
Yeah.
Animals. Like, I'm like, I have pretty close to cutting out a lot of red meat because I just, I look at cows and go, I can't.
Yeah, that's how it started in our house too.
Yeah.
It was just, I can't eat this. I can't, you know, and I have all boys and they want steak.
The quality of the food has deteriorated greatly. Yes,
for sure.
Like, the way they butcher the meat now is just not, even chicken disturbs me sometimes. Like,
absolutely.
Because I have a peanut allergy as a result of taking one of my fibro pills. That when I was on Lyrica, it was actually one of the side effects causes allergies.
Wow, I'm allergic to Lyrica.
Well, you might have gotten lucky in that case.
Wow.
Like, now I'm too afraid to try. I'm off Lyrica. I went to gabapentin.
Uh-huh.
But I find that I will not go back to peanuts just for fear. I did not have an anaphylactic, but I did have heavy hive reaction.
Okay.
And
so,
it just started, like, you know, when I started taking the medicine. It wasn't like something I had my whole life. So, and then reading all the labels, if I'm going to put that kind of effort into making sure it's not even made in a factory with peanuts or made on the same equipment with peanuts,
yeah,
I might as well just leave it alone altogether. It's not, I don't miss it that much. And there are better alternatives. I like a good almond butter, you know, a good cashew butter, and I can have tree nuts as long as they're not made in a factory with peanuts, which a
with
lot
regular
of them are.
Peanuts. Kristen, is there anything else of your story that you wanted to share today? Did you get to cover everything that you wanted to share?
I think so. I think I would say for the most part that I don't want the pain to define me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's who I am, even if it's what I'm saying to you, like on a constant basis, like I'm sitting here reminding you that I'm in pain, maybe.
Yeah.
It is not who I want to project myself to be, nor what I want you to see on my face. So maybe that's a good thing when you say I don't look sick. But I also hate that I have to keep repeating myself. Like, oh, I can't do that because I have fibro, or I can't eat that because I'm allergic, or I can't, you know. So that gets monotonous, and I know people get tired of hearing it, but if you heard me the first time, I wouldn't have to keep repeating myself. So who's the bad guy?
I understand that. That's a struggle for a lot of people.
It is. And so while you want people to remember you're sick, you don't want them to think you look sick or you're carrying yourself or you're milking it. Like, I don't want to milk it. I feel I owe it its due course. And I do feel as if when I am in a state where it's just like, no, don't do it, then don't do it.
Yeah.
And you have to shut down your thought process. Like, I really need to get up and do this because I got to get it done and do, da, 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 da. But it's just like, no, no. Like, if you're in pain and you know you're in more pain than you were yesterday and you really need to shut it down,
yeah,
like, do what you need to do.
Listen, like, to your body.
It is telling you everything you need to know. Everything. Like, I know friends that won't pay attention to when they eat something if their body reacts to it. They're like, oh, I don't realize that. I'm like, what?
Right. Like, I realize it.
Wait, what? Like, I can go through a whole list of things and tell you what my body doesn't like and what I can't eat and where I can't go. And they look at me and they're like, what?
But you have to.
I go, what?
You're so ridiculous. But you have to. If you got up and went to eat at McDonald's, that would wreck your body. And so you have to be the navigator of your own ship, because nobody else will do it for you. No one's going to remember that McDonald's cheeseburgers is going to pretty much wish you died.
But I don't understand why everybody else isn't like that. Like, it didn't dawn on me that everybody doesn't pay attention to when they eat something that it makes their body react.
No.
And I'm just like, that dumbfounded me. Like, I was like,
because we're working so hard not to feel sick. So anything that makes us feel worse, we want to avoid.
Absolutely.
Like, other people just suck it up and go through it. Oh, I'll eat that.
But they have to settle for that. You know what I mean? Like, yes. If you don't like where you live, some people just sit around and complain about it constantly. I'm like, then don't live there.
Yeah.
I I'm in that process now with my husband. Like, you know, I need to be somewhere more peaceful. Like, we live in your childhood home. We camp where you camped as a child. I need my own space now.
Yeah.
Like, I need to breathe. And this is my medicine. Purely 100% is going to be treated just like that. And I want to share this medicine with everybody else I can share it with. Like, if you want to come to my farm, please come. Like, I want everybody on the planet to know this place exists. I love that there's places where you can go and hug cows, because I think that is the most amazing thing. My husband took me to a dairy farm for our anniversary 1 year, and I was heaven. Like, I got to pet all the babies. And I wanted to take home the male baby because it was a dairy farm. And you know what happens to male babies on dairy farms. I'm like, honey, back the truck up.
No, let's take them.
I needed to take him. And I was so sad, but happy at the same time. Like, he pulled into this dairy farm and I just started bawling. Like, I am just with my people. Like, these are my people. Like, these cows, animals.
Yeah,
are the my animals. People. They're the only ones that seem to understand. Like,
Did you want me to mention your YouTube channel and put that out there for you?
That would be awesome. It's called The Best Blessed Life.
I think I saw that on your email. The Best Blessed Life. I love it.
Yeah. So what it all was based on was not just about, like, getting exercise and, you know, eating better or making things that are bad for you better for you, you know, by alternating it or fixing it or making it somehow different or with different ingredients. But it was also finding a happy medium where it was like, okay to be a little naughty if you wanted to, like, you know, eat a little something because it wasn't so bad for you, you know?
Right.
But you got to think that it's like cheating, because then it's like plays a trick with your mind, you know? But I always try to find, like, the positive thing. So all my stories on Instagram and Facebook are positive affirmation. Like, this year was all positive affirmations. Last year it was positive quotes.
Okay.
And then when I first started, it was positive words. So I keep,
building on that.
So next year I've already decided it's going to be like positive compliments that you can give, like, other people to make them feel better. Cause I've always told my girls, like, if you see somebody and they are dressed like fire, like, freaking tell them they look like fire. Like, they look beautiful. I think women, especially women, need to do that for each other. Like, we need to tell each other, oh, your hair looks great, or you're a really sweet person, or I love that you're always there when I need to say something to, like, that's not so nice to someone and I need to bounce it off of you.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, I think we need that in our lives. And I feel like we are need to be each other's cheerleaders, and we need to push each other, like, positively. Like, I feel like, in a sense, like, there's a good amount of females out there that would just exactly like to be out there for themselves than to just say, hey, you need help? I'm on board. I will do, you know, tell me what I can do.
Right.
I'm the first one to go, hey, I need help. Could you help me for a second? But I'm also the first one to put my hand up if you're the one that needs help.
Like, and that's why the world is a better place with you in it. Aww. You're that person.
You're so sweet. This was so fun.
I'm so glad you agreed to do this. And I mean, honestly, people are really going to get a lot from you today. And I'm just so excited. My podcast will launch in April 1st. So, but in the meantime, I'm going to put your YouTube channel on my website and your Instagram and everything just to bring a little more love and positivity around.
Thank you so much.
So I just want to thank you again so much. I'll let you know when it'll air and, you know, we'll clean it up a little bit. And I'm just so excited to have met you.
I'm excited to have met you too. Good and success with your book.
I'm sorry?
Good success with your book and everything you're doing and bringing this to light, I think, is amazing. And I appreciate you for doing this. I think it's way past due.
Thank you. I hope it's helpful. You're a
good person to do it.
Thank you. Thank you so much. So take care of yourself. I know you have to get up and stretch.
Right? You too.
Yes, for sure. Thank you so much, Kristen, and we'll talk again soon.
Sounds good, Michelle.
So what did you think of Kristen's story? Let me know in the comments. I love how she pushes through for those little humans. And I think it's important that we remember you are a superhero to someone. I think that's a pretty good takeaway from that story. So please subscribe to my YouTube channel. And if you have turned your pain into strength, let me know. I would love to hear from you. And I will see you all next Thursday for the next episode. Take care.